My neighbors right now. It ain't nothing but love.
Let me tell you something. His love is in my heart.
In my heart.
Way down.
His love
in my heart.
Is in my heart.
It makes me
love
my innocent. Makes me treat
his
baby right.
In my heart.
Makes me pray for the sick.
In my heart.
It makes me be the hungry.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Eternal God, our Father, we thank you once again for the privilege now of hearing your word. Let the Holy Ghost take the text and tailor the truth that we're teaching today to meet and minister to each and every hearer's heart. Lord, you know who would be here today. You knew who would listen by way of media means. And we pray, Lord, that you would do as only you can by your Spirit. Touch, change, conquer, control. And, oh God, we'd be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you will turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, and we're going to commence reading at verse 17. Deuteronomy, chapter 25, and we shall commence at verse 17. Recorded are these words. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, put away your past. Put away your past. It's interesting because if you will follow the gist of the text, the flow of the text, it is clear that this word is a warning that unless you deal with your past may not completely be in the past. What is not dealt with and put to death, ended and destroyed, could come back to haunt you in the present. One of the things that I think is so important about this word in the 24th and 25th chapter keeps reminding the people of God about remember, remember, remember. Israel was told to remember Miriam's judgment in the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 9. For it says, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come out of Egypt. And then twice they were told to remember that they were once bondmen in Egypt. Again, in Deuteronomy 24, verses 18. Again, it says, but thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. And then again, in verse 22, when thou gatherest, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. And God just reminds them over and over again not to forget some things. There are just some things you ought not forget. And especially as it relates to the word and to the will and to the way of God. And so it's important to recognize that in remembering Amalek, we know that there are some things about this text that are helpful not only to Israel, not again re-experiencing what they had experienced in the past, but it's a lesson for us pragmatically today to be able to experience and learn from what Israel experienced and experience God's favor in such a way that we do not have to repeat the past. Verse 17 says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. Now listen to this, brothers and sisters, because one of the things you're going to recognize, and when they talk about Amalek, Amalek was a small nation, and they used the name man because it represented the posterity of Amalek. It was his people, his descendants. And so they chose to use the name of Amalek for and representing the small nation of his descendancy. And so Amalek is referred to man just like Israel was referred to as Jacob. And so he says, listen, when you were coming out of Egypt, when you were coming out of the worst bondage of your life, when you were dealing with the issues of coming into your own, discovering who you are and whose you are, this Amalek, this small nation dealt with you in an ungodly way, a vicious way, a cruel way, a mean way, just a way that had nothing to do with any kind of humanity. And he says, I want you to remember, because it's something bad when people are that low where they'll hit you when you're down. It says so much about a person who will attack you when you're not at your best fighting position or condition. And it says much about this because Israel had many enemies, but some enemies are so low down that they don't care if you're sick and wounded. They want to make it an easy, quick get over and destruction of you. And they don't care whether you are a worthy opponent or not, or fight by rules. By any means necessary, they want to wipe you off the earth.
So God keeps reminding Israel, everybody don't love you. Look at your neighbor and say, everybody don't love you. I know you may think they do, but everybody don't. Listen at this. He reminds Israel that there are some people, even though they're God's chosen people, that really don't love them. And Amalek was not the only enemy. Not the only enemy. But they were one of the most vicious and non-relenting enemies. And God says, you know what? I want you to remember this thing when I get you in the place I promised you, because their whole desire is to keep you from getting where I've called you to be. Their whole desire is to keep you from possessing what I have promised to you. Their whole desire is to catch you before you get to the place where you are restored and strengthened and are able to deal with things equal and face to face. So here again, he deals with this. He says, remembering Amalek. And here's the important thing about this. The word is, again, important to see. Go back to verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. Verse 18, how he met thee by the way, or when you were coming out, searching for your way, literally is how it is rendered, on your way out of Egypt and into your promised land. Look at what the Bible says, and smote the hindmost of thee. Now the first thing is, look at where he attacked. Amalek attacked the people in the rear of the camp of Israel. Now listen at this now. Now that wouldn't be too bad, but the reason why, again, he didn't want to attack from the front, because the leaders, the strongest men, the people who were prepared and vigilant, were at the front waiting for attack. They were ready and prepared for enemies. But at the rear were the people who couldn't fight well. At the rear were the people who were weak. The rear were the people who were fainted, and they brought up the rear. They were stragglers. They were the ones who could barely make it, and they were going at their own pace. But they knew that, listen, if they could get rid of those who were in this position from the back, can I tell you, the enemy really don't want to face a child of God who's prepared for battle face to face. And so what you need to realize is, when the enemy wants to attack you, it is not beyond him to sneak attack you from the back. The enemy, listen at this, is not always prepared for a good fight, so he's not always looking to fight someone who is prepared. And when you recognize that being ready means not only watching the front, but being prepared to know that the enemy may try and sneak from behind, you need to keep a vigilant watch all around. So again, if we look at the word, the first word says that he started attacking those from the hindmost part. So he attacked from the rear. And sin is like that. It's deceitful and it's sneaky. It'll catch you at your weakest point, catch you at your weakest place. And so this is where it attacked, and this is where Amalek attacked. And you can't trust the promises of sin and sinners and weak and enemies, especially in your weakness. And many times it is in that place and state of mind that they'll promise you things just to get close enough to you to put the knife in your back. You remember the world had a song out that kind of explained that. It said, they smile in your face. All the time they want to, I'm glad I'm not the only one who heard that. Take your place. Who are they? Oh, now y'all can't find it in the Bible, but y'all know that, don't you? The backstabbers. Yeah, that's what they do. They can't come straight at you, because they couldn't take you that way, but they smile in your face, trying to undermine you, trying to pretend that they're friends, only to be able to stab you in your back. And so we look at where he attacked. But then again, it's not only that, but I want you to see also who he attacked. Let's keep reading the word, verse 18. And smote the hindmost of thee, started at the back, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary. Listen to this. So now we see who he really attacked from behind. The faint and the weary. Those who were weak and worn. those who were wounded and those who did not have the ability to travel with a vigor, vim, and vitality, those who were so weak at the point they were just barely holding on. They were doing all they could to stay with the group as close as they could, and yet they were the ones that he attacked. And that's the way Satan does so many of us so many times. Therefore, how much we need to take care that spiritually we are in good health. I said that we need to take care spiritually that we are in good health. Because here's again a helpful holy hint as to how Satan attacks you and when he attacks you. He doesn't attack you when you are strong in this word. Not as much and not as frequently and not as frontal. He won't come at you like that. He waits until you've gotten out of the word a lot. He waits until your prayer life suffers communication with God a lot. He waits until you start missing church and you stop getting the word that feeds your inner man. He waits until you are separated from other believers who would give you an encouraging word and one who would somehow see the straying effect and pull you back on the right. He tries to separate you from those who would see your ways that are unlike God and would call you back to the attention of where you should be as a child of God. And he attacks you when you are spiritually weak. When you are the most unhealthy spiritually, that is when the mounting attacks come from the enemy. That's why when you stay out of Bible study, Sunday school, BTU, and other teaching arms of the church, and you don't study at home on top of that, and when you come to church once a week, maybe twice a week, you have to feed your spirit man daily, and when he only gets a feeding twice a week, no wonder the devil attacks you every day on your job, even many times in your home, in your finances, in your family, in your circles, etc., etc., because he knows then he's dealing with flesh, he's dealing with emotions, he's dealing with the weakness of the reality of the human being, and he's not dealing with a fortified spirit that's ready to do battle with him. Amen. I need you to realize, brothers and sisters, that's one of the reasons why God says that his people perish because of a lack of knowledge. They don't know how the devil works. John 10:10 reminds us afresh, every time the devil shows up, he only has one agenda. And three things are on that agenda: to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he really ever shows up to do. He may not do it immediately, but I've got news for you before he leaves there. He wants to at least accomplish one of those three things, if not all three of those things. So you need to realize that, two, he attacked those who were feeble, those who were weak, according to verse 18, those who were faint. And then notice what the rest of the word says, because this is important. Not only do we learn where he attacked, from the back, the rear, but we also learned who he attacked. But then I want to share with you why he attacked. Because Amalek attacked because he did not fear God. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, people will do anything when they don't fear God. You really don't want to deal with people who don't fear God. Because there is nothing to restrain them, nothing to control them, nothing that they are afraid of, nothing that they respect, which means they'll do anything. That's why you've got to be prepared so that whenever you come against folk who don't fear God, you've got the power of God to take care of you. Did you hear what I just said? Listen again. He attacked because the end of verse 18 says, and he feared not God. Well, what do you mean he feared not God? Well, here's one of the things you need to know. Amalek was also a wilderness people. They saw the miracles that God did for Israel in the wilderness. They experienced by seeing God do miraculous things to Israel, for Israel, with Israel, through Israel, going through the wilderness experience. And yet, though they viewed that as their God opening up these doors, making these ways, being a blessing to them like no other God could do, they still, Amalek, his people, his descendants, his posterity, did not not fear God. And as a result of that, they then mimicked God, if you will, to say, let's see your God get you out of this. Let's see your God take care of you out of this. Let's see your God deal with us as we deal with you mercilessly. And so because they did not fear God, they put God to a test. And my brothers and sisters, one of the things you don't want to do is put God to the test. Because God's got so much to work with. God's got so many tools he can use. God's got so much time. He can wait until you least expect him. He can wait till you think it's all over. He can wait till your guards are down. He can wait until your weapons fail. He can wait till your body gets all weak and frail. He's got so much to work with that you just can't ever measure up to God. Here's one of the interesting things that God tells Israel concerning Amalek, because Amalek has messed with the Israelites through that journey in the Israelite. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged. Don't become so fretful and fearful just because God has brought you out of your Egypt and he's bringing you to your promised land, that just on your way there, you won't have folk dealing with you, messing with you, trying to stop you from getting there. That's a part of the process. Tell somebody it's a part of the process. Somebody, Satan, is trying to keep you from what God has for you. So don't think they're going to let you just skip on into your promised land. When you get a vision of what God's got for you, that's when the hell starts. Well, correction. It starts when you start stepping toward the fruition and the completion of your vision. As long as you just see it and don't do nothing with it, devil don't bother you. He lets you dream, he lets you laugh, he lets you sleep all day. Oh, that's wonderful. That's a beautiful dream. That's a wonderful vision. Just don't try and make it come to pass. Because the moment you start putting one foot toward making it come to pass, then he starts releasing his army to keep you from accomplishing that. So look at what God says in his word in verse 19. Therefore, since he really don't fear me, it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thy enemies round about, where? In the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Now let me pause right here. He's saying, listen, I want you to recognize you're going to have some enemies who will try and keep you from accomplishing your goal and keeping you from accomplishing your vision. He says, have enough strength and wisdom to deal with them, but don't lose your focus on your vision. Listen to me, somebody. Keep this as a word for you. Don't become distracted by side issues. Don't get caught off guard and be drug off the path dealing with those who want you to miss the way that God has prepared for you. So recognizing this, he's telling them, listen. You're going to deal with them later. Let's get you to the promised land. And then when you get to the promised land, this is what he's telling them. I want you to rest up. Yeah. I want you to enjoy your blessing for a minute. I want Amalek to think that you've forgotten what they did you on your way to where God had promised to give you. He says, and when you get yourself together and you've gotten yourself some rest, look again, in the land which I promised to give you and you will possess it. He says, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance, listen to this, of Amalek from under heaven. Listen at this. He says, thou shalt not forget him. Now this almost seems, when you look at God, you know, this doesn't seem like God's kind of talk. You know, we just make God such a pansy. You know, he just let folk just walk all over him, just do him any kind of thing. Y'all don't know this side of God, do you? Huh? You really don't know that God is just long suffering. God is just patient, hoping you'll get yourself together before he really has to show up to the fight. You called him on the carpet, but you're really hoping he don't show up, because if he shows up, oh Lord, I wish I. You talk all that smack and run all that head, but if he shows up to the fight, it won't be no fight. And so all he's really doing is giving you time to get yourself together. He's giving you time to make sure that you align yourself with his word, his will, and his way. And yet if you choose not to, God is still going to, in the end, win. Listen, this is what you need to know. You're going to win, but you don't always have to win early. See, that's where some of you lose it. That's where the devil gets so many of you. You got to win, and you got to win right now. Miss the prize. Miss the whole possession of what God's got for you because you got to win right now. And I got to show them who I am. No, because if you are who you are, will you not be that later? I wish I had a witness. If you are who you are. Now, if you're not sure of who you are, then you want to do something about it right now because you want to settle it underneath your own skin as well as prove to them who you are. Remember Jesus when he was on the cross and his enemies were shouting, "If thou be the Son of God, come down off the cross, save yourself and us." I mean, I don't know about you, but that would have been too much pressure for me. That just been too much pressure. I'd have been like, "What? Oh, so you think these nails are holding me to the cross? I'm just hanging out here for a little while because I'm on a mission, but don't push your luck. If you really are, you've saved others." See, you keep on pushing your luck now. Save yourself. Oh, yeah, and save us too. You know, and then, you know, I mean, when they would have got to the point where they would have just kept chanting that kind of thing and then would have spit in my face and done all of those things like that. I'm glad my name is John and not Jesus. Because I would have had to come down the cross and prove I was the Son of God. And after I would have straightened them up, then I'd have got back on. And say, "Where was I?" I wish I had a witness here. But he didn't let it bother him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Man, I tell you. And he recognized, listen to this, that was going to be a showdown. But right then, wasn't the time for it. See, every now and then, God's going to prove to the world who you are. But he doesn't have to do it when they think it's done. God's going to show you you are who he says you are. But don't get caught up in man's rage and man's timing. You wait on. Or they may laugh at you, make fun of you, put you down, talk about you, ridicule you, bring you to nothing in their eyes. Oh, but just wait on the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, "Wait on the Lord." Because I got news for you. When you wait on the Lord in his timing, he's going to prove to the world that you are who he says you are and can do what he says you can do and will have what he says you will have, and you will be the overcoming victor. I wish I had a witness in the house of God today. But the Lord says, when you get to your place, when you finally arrive, I've got one more mission for you, and that's to go back into your past and make sure your past stays in the past. I want you to go back and destroy all those, wipe away all of those things that could come back and mess up your present. And so oftentimes have we experienced in our own lives and situations when we just walked away from the past, not dealing with the past, not handling the past, when we got comfortable in our place and where we were, the past came creeping back. Knocking at our door, ringing our doorbell, showing up in our face because we did not handle